Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast, focused on providing valuable information for anyone looking to undertake a new build or extension project. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories from a building designer's perspective.
Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and once again, we're joined by Frank Geskis.
Afternoon, Amelia.
Afternoon, Frank.
So, what are we doing today? What are we doing?
Surprises that you might find when you're extending or renovating your home.
Oh, yeah.
There are some good ones.
Oh, some of the stuff you find, you know, and you don't find it until you actually get in to pull things apart. Get in and, yeah, start extending, renovating, whatever, and just some of the stuff that we find is amazing and not amazing and expensive. I'll use one example. I remember I got called into a reno and it's already been previously renovated, a house, and they're re-renovating. I said, oh, okay, this is weird. Can you come have a look? I've got a problem with the floor. I walk in, it was old, Federation-style house thereabouts, and I walk in and, like, all the flooring's off and everything's stripped out. You know, okay, this is pretty heavy duty what they're doing, and he showed me, come and have a look at this, and had relatively new timber. It was, I think it was pine flooring. I noticed it was very close to the ground, and also when I walked in there was a concrete path on the outside, so there was no, the path wasn't that much lower than the floor. Had a look at this. This was done 2 years ago, and had a closer look, and all the bottom of all the timber had rotted.
And so it was only 2 years old.
Yeah. So
wow.
They apparently, I couldn't tell because I stripped all the walls out of the stuff and all the fixtures, but that was a bathroom and connected to a bedroom, and they replaced the flooring that was there, which was old hardwood. Oh, they replaced it, just put pine in, just normal pine. Anyway, not only 2 years old, the thing is just like totally crumbled and just gone. Just the top of it was still there. And the reason why was that they had no room, virtually very little space between that and the ground, and there was no ventilation, and it naturally got a little bit damp. So it just completely rotted out.
So no airflow.
No airflow, no nothing, but it was the wrong size material to put, it was the wrong type of material to put in there. There was no ventilation. It was a wet area on top. I don't know if it leaked or anything either, but I can't make comment on it. And it then ended up causing more problems through the bedroom and wrecking basically the whole thing. Throw it all away.
Wow, whole new floor.
Whole new floor, but it was everything above the floor too.
The
bathroom was gone. The bedroom was gone. It was stuffed.
Oh, dear.
It was just 2 years. So just think, the money they spent to do that was just to throw it down the toilet, literally, you know.
I suppose insurance wouldn't cover that, would it?
I don't believe so. I can't make comment on that. I don't believe it was the case. So I don't know what happened. So they gave advice and I said, well, you can't get airflow in here. There's concrete path outside. How do you get it to breathe? So I said, look, you're better off framing this off, and we put a concrete slab in there.
Wow.
So it was far easier doing it that way. Because there was just no way you could get the floor to breathe. And everything's got to breathe. Timber has to breathe. You know, if it's moist under there, it just won't work. So that's always a good surprise when you start renovating. But it's not an unusual one if you're working on a really old house, especially, yeah, some more period correct houses with weatherboards and stone foundations. You don't mess with them. And what I mean by that, don't change the ventilation. Don't block up the holes. Let it breathe, but heaps of people lock the vents or the internal vents of the house as well, and it causes problems. And you only find that when you actually renovate.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, then you find weird stuff under the floor too. Find some little bits of treasures and rubbish and dead animals and...
Oh, yuck.
Well, you do. It's under the floor, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure we found a mouse in our wall cavity.
Oh, that's not unusual.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
No.
Did one, obviously.
Yeah, but then, like, you find people throw stuff under the house, right? And then you do renos, you pull stuff apart, then you find bits of the old house, like you might find, like I was saying, I found some fretwork for a house I was renovating, bits of balustrading. Oh, cool, I can reuse that. I recycled some stuff. But I found exercise gear and carpet and bottles. Oh, I found heaps and heaps of bottles thrown under the house.
Really?
Yeah. I remember one job, we found a whole heap of cans. Obviously, they were drinking on the job. There was a heap of steel beer cans under the floor.
like vintage ones.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
All rusted and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you find all sorts of things. Also, you find on the back of walls sometimes people sign their name and dates, old newspapers stuck in the wall. So you find some interesting stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Another one is electrical, home electrical jobs. They're a winner.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. People like to try.
My place, but yeah, you talk to a few sparkies and I reckon you get some pearl of stories where people have done their own electrical work and, yeah, potential fire hazard if you had not done properly. It's as simple as that. The old galvo pipe for your plumbing, you know, you used to run galvo pipes and you get the rusty water through your taps.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it clears out, it'll be fine. Yeah, but now we do copper. Well, we don't do copper anymore. We use plastic. Yeah.
PVC?
It's not quite. It's quite different.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the early versions of the plastic water lines. The rats used to love chewing on it. Yeah.
Or terracotta pipes.
Oh, yeah, in your garden, yeah, for your waste. They're always a winner. Trees love those. Get all the roots in there, block it up, and then back up your sewer so it pops out somewhere else.
Yes, I've got some experience with that.
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine was just telling you, but he's just had that happen to him and, yep, couldn't fix it for a while, couldn't use his bathroom for a week.
Yeah.
Because coming out the overflow relief gully, that's never pleasant.
Tenants were like that as well.
Yep.
And it was really, really boggy in the backyard when it happened too. So I think they had to wait until it dried out.
And this is when you're renovating, you deal with old places. It's, you're going to find some really interesting things happen. Plumbing is one of those. Also, oh, yeah, another favourite is home plumbing is really good too. Doing their own plumbing.
What have they done? Like, well, just like their own...
Put their own PVC pipes under the house, you know, put a new kitchen in, put the sink in, do their own 50mm PVC pipes, but it's kind of stuck up there with strapping and all sorts of rubbish.
Oh, no.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, dear, dodgy brothers.
Yeah, pretty much just do a bathroom, do a kitchen reno and just do the plumbing yourself and, yeah, really dodgy. So you've got to be careful of that. And when you buy a house, how do you find all this stuff?
Yeah, that's so true. Even if you get, you know, a building inspector to have a look, there's still a lot of things that they can't see.
You can't see. You can't. You don't know what you don't know. It's as simple as that. You just curse the previous owners, or it could be the owner before that, could be the owner before that. You don't know. Someone's done a kitchen reno and they've put the kitchen in themselves and they've cut little, you know, bits of jewellery to cover things that aren't square. That's always fun. And then when you pull it apart to maybe just update something, you're going down a rabbit hole of trying to fix something. You know, it's not square, floor's off level, the walls aren't straight. You wonder why they had the splashback is really thick, and then you find out that the whole top doesn't fit to the wall because at one end it's, you know, 25 mil out at the other end. So they covered it with a really big splashback.
Yeah, I've seen that, and that's the same as our house as well.
So you don't know a lot of this stuff until you get into it. And that's where budgets get busted.
Oh, and so quickly as well, just with little things like that that aren't square, or things are mouldy, or...
Or your electrical, and you've got to replace a chunk of the electrical in the house you weren't expecting. You're just doing a small thing and then you find out, there's, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 worth of electrical work needs to be done. Oh, didn't see that coming, but it has to be done for safety. Yeah, it's tough. Or slow leaks. I saw one with a dishwasher, had a slow leak with a kink in the hose. And because it was a tile floor, they didn't tile where the dishwasher was, and it just slowly leaked on the chipboard floor. You couldn't tell from inside, just saw the toe base, which is the piece of timber underneath your doors. You could see it bubbly a little bit because it was like a Laminex and it was a little bit bubbly. So, it's a bit odd. Hadn't completely blown, which means it's just totally peeled itself off. Mm-hmm. Went under the floor and it just saw this white and green and black mold, huge patch of it. Chipboard.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What I found amazing, I could see that because there was no insulation under the floor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the age of it, the builder never installed the insulation.
That's unusual.
For an age, it was totally skipped.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that wasn't real good. I was just looking at a house for someone to buy and go, this ain't real flash. So they didn't buy it, thankfully. Yeah, just patch jobs on houses too, you don't know. That's the thing. Mould and mildew is probably being the biggest problem that we're seeing when we do renos, but then you can get in and clean it out, fix it, cut out stuff. So you've got to look out for previous renovations and previous works, you know, if you're buying a place. Yeah, but if you've got full intention to fully renovate a house, you're going to rip the whole lot out anyway and do it properly. had a client just did it recently. He stripped this thing bare down to the frame, sealing everything, and we were able to get in there, measure up what he wanted, because he just wanted all new bathrooms, kitchens, insulate the whole thing, do it properly. That's what the client wanted, and we saw all the bare bones of the house, and it was easy to then highlight what needed to be fixed. And that was his little project. Not everyone does it that way because they're on a different type of budget. Yeah, can't do it. And they've also got to live in their own house.
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah, you've got to be real careful when you're doing extensions and renos, and also the age of the house. There are different ways they've been constructed as well. You've got to be real careful. Newer houses are harder to do it because of the pine frames and pine trusses. It can be quite difficult sometimes to do extensions off those, and you're spending more money on the structure to hold it together compared to the old houses, which were green hardwood used with these huge nails. Or if you go really old, they were green hardwood, but they were mortise and tenon joints with handmade nails, and your saw can't cut through the timber. It's so hard, you know. So they're all different eras of how they used to build homes. Our current era is not as high quality in the framing.
Cheap and cheerful.
I wouldn't say cheap and cheerful because it's the most cost-effective way we do it. Like, we use radiata pine here predominantly, but we used to have a lot of hardwood. But now hardwood's become so expensive.
Oh, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, and there's not a lot of that available now. There's some plantation hardwood coming online, but some of that's not real good, you know, because it twists.
Yeah, okay.
So this is where your designer can help you with your extensions and work with the builder generally. It's great having a builder on board early on so we can make some assumptions due to the era of the house and the type of construction. And then from there, we can make decisions from a design perspective but also work with the engineers. But you will still find a few surprises.
Oh, I reckon. What about secret rooms and all that sort of stuff? Have you come across any kind of creepy stuff?
Oh, not in houses.
Yeah, okay.
But I have found an old heritage commercial stuff. I found a whole staircase and toilet totally blocked off. And we went in there and actually had a heritage consultant with us as well at the time because we were going through what we couldn't do. We walked in and we're going, oh, wow, this is like the third staircase in this building.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we get up, there's a window at the top. We just thought it was part of the other building because it was all, it's a corner site in Launceston, and there was three shops in the bottom and there was a big open space which was used previously for offices, but it was all mixy matchy and weird doorways, and there was a weird bathroom at another end. You had to go down a set of small stairs to get to this bathroom. It looked like it hadn't been used in 100 years. Had its own special window looking out to nowhere. It was really weird. But then we had this other spot and it was kind of like a door, so we got it open, went up the stairs, and it was just like walking back in time. The original wallpaper was still there. It was just all fraying off. We get up the top, and all the balustrade, the handrails, all original, very cool. And then you see in this far corner this timber panelling, and it had weird holes cut into it and stuff. Anyway, go around, and this box was actually the dunny on our first floor.
Wow.
And it had this really old cast iron water tank and flushed down, and it had a timber toilet seat. It was well worn.
Oh, that's a bit gross.
Well, yeah, it would be because it was raw timber, you know. So
you don't want it splinter.
Well, it was pretty. I think it was well smoothed because it was well used.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting to find that, you know. And then, yeah, there's secret rooms. I found that in some other places in Launceston. We've investigated crawling under floors and walked through doors, and had one case of door closed behind us and we couldn't get out.
Oh, no.
That was funny.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it was a little bit creepy, but we got out, so it wasn't a big deal.
Didn't have to keep the toilet because it's heritage listed. Yeah.
Well, we're not touching it. We're not planning to do anything with that area.
Yeah, okay.
So it just stayed as is, so it wasn't a big deal.
Just don't use the dunny.
Well, there's no water going to it anymore, so, yeah, the old flushing mechanism might not be too good if you used it. Yeah. But we found some other interesting bits, but the client didn't want to do a lot of major works up there to change it, so that was okay. But I just find it interesting. It's more the commercial buildings and people adding on and changing and chopping and changing, and you smack through it. Like I found, we did a hotel years ago in Launceston, again, quite old, and we found an old staircase that was all boxed in.
Oh, wow.
But we had to pull that out because of what we were trying to do for a hotel room. But we had to keep the steering wheel, went up into the roof. And But then you might open in through something, find an original stained glass window. Internally, it's all been blocked off. You find some interesting things. And you know what I love about that is trying to figure out what it was. Because you can't find plans for it anymore. But what was it used for? How could you imagine it used to be? How did it operate?
That's very cool.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so not like the movies, I must say.
Not like the movies.
No.
Well, you never know if something might come up in the future.
Yeah, and it's a bit like there's an Instagram guys I follow for abandoned places, and they find stuff like that.
Yeah.
Find it really
that would be really cool.
Cool, creepy, and, you don't want to get stuck in some of these places.
Oh, definitely not.
But, yeah, look, there's always hidey holes. I remember going out to, it was pretty modern. It was built in the 50s. It was a big factory out Georgetown. We were walking around, there was a big steel plate on the floor, lifted it up. There's all water in here. Stuck my head down into this hole, and it was like a big water tank. And what we figured out was actually part of the ventilation system in through the floor, but it had water in there to keep it cool. But it was it wasn't overly stagnant, but it was really creepy, like this pit.
That's so weird.
Yeah, especially when none of the lights are on and stuff. It was a bit weird, yeah.
Ooh.
But we figured out we were able to get the original drawings. We understood the design, why they did it then. Sometimes you don't understand why people did things. You know, the designer or the builder or the developer did certain things. So factories are a classic for that. Coates Patents here would be an absolute classic for that.
Oh, yeah.
Even in Launceston, the sewage system, one of the oldest ones in Australia, these barrel vaults and just fascinating stuff that's still working to this day. Now in Europe and all the rest of it, they've got stuff that's heaps older than that.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I just find that fascinating how you try and retain some of this stuff too. We don't get a lot of that. Get a little bit excited when you find something, but leave that. Then you get on with the design and figure out what you need to do for your customer.
So what else have you found in terms of things that have gotten blocked, vents and that sort of thing? Because that's really common too.
Yeah, people, they block the vents in the walls, internally that is. Yeah, and the problem, of course, is the building doesn't breathe. So then you potentially have mildew build up behind the walls, ceilings and stuff like that. It's a common thing people do. Houses up until probably the 80s, they all have vents in the walls and there's a reason why they had them. Nowadays, we don't do that. Obviously, we're trying to get thermal efficiency. But we're not that much more clever because our houses all condensate and got mould in it with under the current building code, and that's just fact. There's a huge amount of houses. Like, they reckon Statos owns 40% of houses have a level of mould or mildew in them because the way they've been designed and operated.
That's staggering, isn't it?
It is. So you don't have a very healthy home. It can actually make you sick. I've seen where, I've seen a customer go to hospital with the mould and mildew that was developed in the house.
That's terrible.
But it's more common than you think.
Mm.
So people don't see that. You can't see some of this stuff that makes you sick. So that's where, and I'm sorry, the building code doesn't deal with this well.
Especially here in Tassie.
It's all the way up. Think of if you've got a high humidity area like in Queensland and Darwin.
Well, I guess that's really true.
The moisture in the air, how do you get rid of it? It's inside. It's trapped inside your house. It's just doing it in a different way, because of the heat is on the outside. You're trying to keep it cool inside. And here in Tassie, we're trying to keep the heat in and it's cool outside.
Yeah.
Either way, it's still causes major problems and potential health concerns. And sadly enough, I don't believe the National Construction Code has kept up with this. And as we go for a higher star rating, which like in New South Wales, they're at 7. The other states have reserved judgment. They're doing more testing on it. I believe we're going to have more unhealthy homes because of that, because there is nothing really prescribed on how to deal with some of this stuff. And builders are working out a lot of this stuff themselves, which goes over and beyond the National Construction Code. So I believe we're going to have quite a few problems.
That's a tomorrow problem.
Well, it should be now, to be fair. It should have been sorted 10, 15 years ago, but just 100%. Like more reports, more this, more that, dilly-daddling. Just get on with it. Use a bit of common sense. Anyway, that's just my soapbox.
Let's go back to extensions.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. You modify a house, and if you don't do it properly, you're going to mould up, condensate, all sorts of stuff if you don't do it properly. And if the design has not been allowed to do that, you're going to have exactly those problems because you've modified the house.
Yeah, and you're right, especially if it's, closing in of spaces and that sort of thing.
Floors are the classic where they do an extension and they put a slab up the side and they've blocked all the vents to a timber floor house, and you might find a whole patch underneath the floor that cannot have airflow, and you get a little bit of moisture in there. It's got nowhere to go. It builds mildew, maybe mould, all that. And yeah, it can affect your house.
So what are the take-home points for people that are looking to do a renovation or extension and they have concerns that they might, you know, have issues or find something surprising?
What they can do is the designers should know how to make the house breathe and function. And a lot of the builders are getting really on top of this as well. But we're going to have some future podcasts talking to people about, yeah, building a healthier home and tips and with that. So that's coming up in the future. But a lot of the designers are really getting on top of this to understand what we need to put into our homes to make them healthy, get the moist, stale air out of the house and get fresh air into the house. Because no one opens their windows, for crying out loud. But it sounds dumb. Open your windows and you get fresh air through your house. It's no different under the floor. If you've got a timber floor, open it up, let it breathe. It's
common sense.
But not to everyone. Sometimes it's common sense is in short supply. But most builders should be on top of this, and good quality builders generally are, because they don't want problems on their homes. They want it all to work great. So it's making sure that your designers or architects is on top of this. It's the function. The building's got to function well.
And so what do you do if you've already started and then you come across something surprising? Like, what can you do?
Well, you fix it. It's going to cost you extra money, but that's where the builder will point that out. And then potentially if it's a designer issue, is it an engineering issue, is it a plumbing issue, is it an electrical issue, whatever the issue, you get it fixed. You know, and that's why it's important when you're doing your budgets for renos and extensions that, okay, it's got a quote for $150,000 to do it. We make sure you've got 10 to 20%. I recommend 20% on renos because there's always something. So you got that up your sleeve. If you've got $150,000 to spend and that's your max, well, don't budget to that point. Pare it back to 120. It may not get what you want, but you need to have that contingency. I think it's very, very important when you're doing renovations, money up your sleeve. The unforeseen items and other potential cost overruns have got a much higher potential with extensions and alterations. Look at how many people do reno their house and they're still doing it 10 years later.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of those people.
Running out of money.
All right, we might wrap it up there, folks. Thanks for listening to the Building Design Primetime podcast.
Catch us later.
You're listening to the Building Design Primetime podcast.